And as we kick off our mission emphasis, our emphasis is across the street and around the world. And we think about across the street. Last Sunday we had the challenge for each of you to display Christ as indispensable to our community. I trust you have opportunity to do that. And in a little bit, as we take the offering, if you have one of the little blue pieces of paper that you filled out with the testimony telling us a story about how you showed Christ, or maybe someone who trusted Christ this week, put that in the offering plate. We'll get that, and we'll share those. And you can do that this next week as well. Be praying for those opportunities. I've had several come up to me and say, man, I've had some opportunities. And I said, write them down. Some others have said that they were praying for opportunities, didn't really have much. But I said, hey, do it this next week. I was praying and had opportunity on Monday. Someone from the community called and asked if we could have a funeral service. Don't know if the family knew the Lord or not, but had opportunity to share with them. And again, an opportunity to display Christ is indispensable. Melvadine called me a couple weeks ago, said that her husband, Herb, had been diagnosed with cancer. I said, hey, would you like me to come by? Well, it's not going to work out now. I've met Herb, I've talked with Herb, and said, hey, Herb, you know, we'd sure like to have you come out to church. Herb said, nah, that's all right. He's very cordial, but he said, nah, that's all right, that's not for me. Well, I said, well, would you like me to stop by? She says, well, it's not going to work out for today. And well, this week she called. She said, Herb wants to talk to you. So I had opportunity to go out and talk to Herb. When I walked into his room, he's pretty much bedfast now. Walked into his room and he was just tears running down his face. He says, I'm trying to reach God. I'm trying to reach God. I can't. I can't reach God. I said, you know what? You can't. But God wants to reach you. And I had opportunity to show Christ, to share Christ, and to tell him about the saving grace and forgiveness. He was just really struggling over the whole issue of forgiveness, and he realizes that it could be shortly before he stands before God. He's struggling with forgiveness, and I shared with him that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just will forgive us of sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I told him about the power of God shown through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus to repent, to turn away from his sin, to come to God in salvation through Jesus Christ. And I said, I had a little pocket Bible, and I said, Herb, I said, here's a gift. When does a gift become yours? And he says, well, when you offer it to me. I said, no, it's I'm offering it to you. When does a gift become yours? Oh, when I accept it, when I take it. And I said, that's what God wants to do for you in Jesus Christ. That's what he wants to do for your salvation. And so he reached out, not just for the Bible, but he reached out and he took the Bible. But he reached out and God saved Herb, 79 years old. God saved Herb. And I'll tell you, he would not let go of that little Bible. He would kiss it and he would hold on to it. I went back yesterday just to see how Herb was doing. Melvadine said, he has not let go of his Bible. I walked into his room and she goes, Herb, where's your Bible? And he lifted up his covers and he was right here close to his heart. Herb, you're going to see Herb in heaven. You're going to see Herb in heaven. And what an opportunity. We just praise God for the ministry that he gives us here. And I just want to encourage you, look for those opportunities. Be available for those opportunities. And God will bless you as well. Today is what's called 414 Sunday. On April 14th, we celebrate 414 Day, which is just an emphasis to remember children in ministry from the ages of 4 to 14. And Herb was 79 years old. That, I'll tell you what, that's pretty rare for a 79-year-old to be willing to change his thinking from all those years and to surrender to God and salvation. The prime ages are from the age of 4 to 14. That's when most people statistically trust Christ as Savior. And we have a phenomenal children and youth program here at First Baptist Church. In fact, in the early service, we baptized Ben Macon, 11 years old, had trusted Christ. And he followed the Lord in obedience to baptism. And Ben's just a great guy. He's been involved in our life group over at the house. And we've just had a lot of fun with Ben and seeing him grow. But we had that baptism. Next week, we have some more baptisms we're going to do at the beginning of our second service next Sunday. And we have some adults that are getting baptized next week. So it's just an exciting time. But as I think of, oh, and by the way, we also have a business meeting after the service. We're going to have dinner, and you're welcome to come. If you're not, even if you're not a member of the church, see how things work around here. And we'll vote our new members into the congregation, give the right hand of fellowship at that time. As we think of 414, our children and youth programs, we've had Word of Life programs here, youth and children's programs for many years. And we've supported Word of Life Ministry over the years, Word of Life Missionaries. And it's our privilege to have Denny and Deanna Purdy with us and their family. And so let's welcome Denny as he comes and shares his ministry with us.
Lord bless you. Well, good morning. I am excited to be here. A lot of faces that I recognize are actually in the audience this time. Because I've been at your guys' youth, I've been at your youth groups for many weeks, and I've been observing you guys, and really, you guys are reaching out into the community, and that's what we should be doing. You talk about across the street and around the world. Well, across the street for us is our neighbors. It is the individuals that we are picking up on our buses to bring them into our churches to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am an area missionary with Word of Life Fellowship. You might be asking, what is Word of Life? Well, Word of Life is an international ministry youth organization. And before I tell you more about Word of Life, I want to tell you about my family. Many of you probably have not met. The pictures are up there. That way, the people that see the back of my children's head, you can see the front of their face now. That's Abigail. That's my daughter, Abigail. She's 14. That's my son, Matthew. He's 12. And that's my beautiful wife, Deanna, that you are noticing up there right now. But currently, Word of Life, we are in 69 different countries. We have 5 Bible institutes and various camping ministries around the world. But we have 2 camping ministries right here in the U.S. One is in Florida, and this one I'm going to tell you about is in New York. Our camping ministry, two years ago, we took our nephew up to the Word of Life campground. And if you have an opportunity to go to a camp, I recommend the Word of Life campground. Now, it's called the Pines right now, so you might be confused by the name. But we took our nephew up there 2 years ago. He didn't, his mom's not really in his life. My mom and my dad look after him. We took him up there with the hope that maybe that the gospel message would get through to him. And it sure did. The counselors there shared the gospel of Jesus Christ at the campground at the Pines. And he accepted Christ as his Savior. You should see him right now. And as we go around with different ministries, we're going to be taking him. And you'll be seeing him once in a while. But he is on fire for God. Why? Because somebody was willing to take the time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with my nephew. And he got saved. But another camping, well, Word of Life, that's an excellent ministry. But here's another couple of excellent ministries. The Ranch, we're talking grades, and I messed this up before, 1st through 5th grade, we're looking at the Ranch ministry. The Wild, you're looking at 6th through 8th grade for the Wild, and then the Island, 9 through 12. And a little bit more about the Island. Let me tell you, these individuals that you're going to see next, they are going to be welcoming your teenagers onto the island. That's right. If you want to get rid of your teenagers for an entire week, we will take them and we will stick them on an island. And it's an exciting place for them. Not only will they be ministered to, but if they have friends that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, invite them along. And the gospel message is going to be shared at the island, but also they are going to be ministered to spiritually. You send your child to the island, they will come back a completely different individual. I promise you that. The next ministry I want to show you is the Wild, grades 6 through 8. Some of the activities that you see there, you have tubing, but one to the upper right, and I don't know if you can tell what's going on there, but that is a mud pit. They fill a pit full of water, and they just send the kids out into it. It's a great opportunity for them. and a great opportunity for them to be ministered to also. It is an evangelistic opportunity also for friends that are not saved. Invite them to the Wild. And like I said, they will come back and they will be changed. I promise you. And then the next camping ministry I want to tell you about is the ranch. Horseback riding, the mud pit, they get to do that too, archery, and it looks like they have a beach there that would be really cool to be at. So we are located, the ministry headquarters is located in Scroon Lake. So that's a little bit about our camping ministry. So Lord, what I'm involved in is area missionary with Word of Life, local church ministries. And what we are trying to do within the local church ministry is we are trying to reach youth whose culture changes with the gospel truth that never changes. And I want to say that again, that we are reaching youth whose culture changes with the gospel truth that never changes. Our methods are going to change how we are reaching our communities for Jesus Christ. But the gospel message that we are giving them is never going to change. What we do within local church ministries is we partner with the local church. We help them with evangelism, discipleship, and leadership development. In fact, we are helping the local church with the Great Commission. And it's your theme verse, to go out and reach your community for Jesus Christ, making disciples of individuals. So how do we do that within local church ministries? Well, we work with you in three different areas. One is our Gopher Buddy ministry, which is ages 4 to 6, and Pastor just mentioned it, that their hearts, at this point in time, they are moldable. You can tell them the truth about Jesus Christ, and they're not hard-hearted. They're going to accept the truth that you're going to be giving them during this period of time. We are repeating things to them. You know, that's the best way that individuals learn, is by repetition. Us older folks like myself, I learn because I go over things over and over and over. Well, the same concept for the Gopher Buddies. We want to teach them who God is, who Jesus Christ is. We want to memorize Scripture. We want to create good habits for these individuals. Our next ministry we're going to talk about is our Olympian ministry. We're talking grades 1 through 6. We are going to be doing a complete Bible survey over a 6-year period of time with our Olympian ministries. But what we do with our Olympian ministries is the same way that we do with our student ministries. I want to break you up into smaller groups. I want to disciple you one-on-one. And our Olympian ministries, they do that very effective in the way they do that. Our student ministries, grades 6 through 12, a very effective way also. We are doing Bible doctrine. We're going to teach them biblical truth. And within the biblical truth that we're teaching them, we want them to change their lives so that they are walking like Christ walked. That brings me to my passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. If you guys have your Bibles, turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. And let's go ahead and read this real quick. Passage says, and Paul's talking to the Corinthian church, he's saying, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And before I go any further, let's pray. Father God, Lord, we just want to stop and come before you. We acknowledge you as God. Lord, we acknowledge that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for us on a cross as we were singing. Lord, thank you for sending your Son to die for a sinful man such as me, but also for everybody in this congregation he died. He died, Lord, they buried him, and on the third day he rose again, Lord. And we want to glorify you for that. Lord, as we share this ministry, use it, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Those are the three different ministries that we help the churches with. One thing that I believe is that I believe in leadership development. I believe if we can mold great leaders, then we can mold great youth ministries. And when I'm saying the word we, I'm talking about Word of Life, and I'm talking about the local church. And I'm talking that if we can create strong leaders. Strong leaders that believe in evangelism, believe in discipleship, that believe in building up our youth to minister to other youth, then we can see a change in our church. We can see a change in our culture. Change doesn't happen because we've elected an official to be president or we've elected individuals to Congress. Change happens when we go across the street and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other individuals. And that's what I want to see within our leadership development. Leadership development, we run a couple of different things as area missionaries, which is transfer meetings. Local churches come together during these transfer meetings. You are building, and the leaders that are there, you are building relationships with other youth ministries that are running the same material that you are running. You gain ideas from them. You have troubles, they have problems. They probably solve some of the problems that you are facing. That's why we communicate with our other leaders to figure out these problems that are going on. But also, as you are building relationships with those other leaders, you are building a relationship with your area missionary too, so that we can work as a team in the ministry. Because of leadership principles are being taught at transfer meetings, we are seeing transformation in leaders and in youth groups. We've had an individual who had 4 individuals coming to his youth group when he started with the Word of Life program. He ended up with 40 individuals at the end of that. Within that period of time, he had 6 that were doing quiet time. That 6 that were doing quiet time, it moved up to 13 and up to 30. But this is over a period of time that he was seeing spiritual growth within his youth group. One thing that we see, leaders that are not doing quiet times, not getting into the Word of God, we see them start to get into the Word of God that have never done a quiet time before. We see leaders that have never organized a meeting in their life start to have monthly planning meetings. Those leaders are starting to have yearly planning meetings. I think it was Benjamin Franklin that said that if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it. That's why you have planning meetings. That's why you have that's why you have yearly meetings, because you're aiming for a goal and you want to hit that goal. Monthly planning meeting, yearly planning meeting, counseling training. And I think that we really need to stop here, because if I was to come up to you and let's say I wanted to control you in some way, and what would happen if I controlled your behavior in one way? What if I turned my back and walked out the room? Would you act the same? And the answer is yes, you would, because the person that told you to behave this way is out of the room, so you don't have to behave that way anymore. You can act wild. What if I can change your heart? What if I can show you Jesus Christ and He changes your heart? And you're not only obeying the leader that tells you to behave, but you're obeying all the leaders that are around you. We're talking about counseling the heart rather than looking at the behavior that you are seeing within individuals. So I believe that this is really a vital impact of what we're going to try to do within our transfer meetings over the next couple of years. It's counseling training, discipleship training, effective quiet time, reaching the parents of kids, visitation of different individuals that you guys have within your ministry, sharing the gospel with family. How would you guys love to see families transformed, especially the kids that we have coming into our youth groups? We'd love to see those individuals change. How about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with their fathers, with their mothers, and seeing their lives change? That's how we're going to see it happen. Seeing families change through the gospel. Effective small group time. We believe in small groups. We believe in sitting you down. And if the pastor was to give you a message, I'm sure pastor would love this, we break up into all sorts of small groups and we say, how can we apply the pastor's message to our lives this week? And it was on witnessing last week, correct? We break up into small groups and we say, let's reach this individual and let's reach this individual. Okay, I'm going to do this. How are you going to do this? I'm going to give them a call. I'm going to meet them at work. But we believe in small groups. And in one instance of a small group was an individual who did not treat his sister very well. 3 guys that were in the group agreed with the individual that said, hey, I don't treat my sister well. What was the leader to do with that? The leader sat down and said, you know what? For this week, I want you to treat your sister better. And he ended up saying, yes, I'm going to do that. Leader prayed for him. Came back the next week, said, how'd you treat your sister? He said, I treated her better. He said, how did she treat you? She treated me better. He said, that's really awesome. He said, the other 3 noticed and said, yeah, his sister's treating him better too as she's treating him better. He said, okay, so let's make another commitment. Let's start treating your parents better than what you treated, how you're treating your sister. He says, yes, I'm going to do that. Other three noticed. But this is the process of progressive sanctification. Something that's in your life that should not be there. And an individual leader coming along and saying, hey, I think we need to change this, conform to the image of Christ. And somebody willing to hold you accountable to do that. Leadership development conferences that we run. Leadership conferences, dynamic speakers. Some of you have been at these. John Bouquet was a speaker this year, a dynamic speaker. Somebody that's going to challenge you in spiritual growth. Somebody to challenge you in spiritual application. Plus, you have an opportunity during these conferences to learn from their mistakes. But also, you have an opportunity to learn from their successes. Gain experience from them, and then leave encouraged. We have breakout sessions in our leadership conferences. In our breakout sessions, we are going to deal with issues that you're dealing with within your youth groups. And your student ministries, we're going to deal with those. Olympian, Gopher Buddies, personal application in these. Application session. We call it a ministry moment. We'll gather all the leaders underneath one missionary, and that's who we're in front of. But during that session, I want you to look at what you are learning in the conference and how you can apply that learning to your local church. And these are just some of the ways. One leader found during one of these conferences that he was a great sponsor. He was there every week for the kids. He was there at every event for the kids, but he never sat down and challenged the kids to grow. Well, during one of our leadership conferences, he realized that he needed not to be a sponsor, but he needed to be a leader. So he sat down, he started doing his quiet time, his scripture memory. He started taking down notes for the pastor when he's doing his sermon. And then he challenged his students that he was leading to do the same thing, to do the same thing. Club visits. And planning meetings. These are a part of LCM, Local Church Ministries. We visit clubs. One thing it does provide for you, it provides you an outside view of your club. And if you take a look at the top left-hand picture, that's an evangelistic event that they're going to be running. That guy's holding a marshmallow bazooka. And they have marshmallow wars at this particular event. But it's an evangelistic event. They're bringing in individuals so that they can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And after they get done sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, we want to see these individuals grow in Jesus Christ. Ways to improve. When we come to an area club visit, we're looking at icebreaker song time, prayer and share, lesson prep, interaction with the students, discipline problems that are going on. But also things that you guys are doing well. We want to commend you. We want to commend you for the things that you guys are doing well. We want to encourage you to keep going, keep growing in Christ. Another thing is it's another voice that is teaching the same message to our students. And I just heard that, I think Kent was in the in your Ignite, and three individuals came to know Jesus Christ because Kent was presenting the gospel to those individuals. So as local church missionaries, we are an outside voice coming in and teaching rather than just hearing from the same teachers all the time. Discipleship. And we just talked about discipleship. Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Jesus Christ. And that should be your goal, really. That should be what we strive to accomplish within our lives. If you think about that message, follow me as I'm following Christ. Can we say that? Can we say that to individuals? And Paul was able to say it to the Corinthian church. Hey, follow me. I'm following Christ. Well, that's discipleship. Teaching others to be what you are or what you are becoming. Teaching others to be what you are or what you are becoming. Can we look at individuals? Can we look at them and say, hey, follow me. I'm following Jesus Christ. Turn the conversation spiritual. We provide Bible studies for our groups, for our students, our Gopher Buddies, our Olympians, like I said, students, biblical doctrine, that's what we want to teach them there. But also, you know your students better than we do. Take the material that we have and use it to teach and reach your children, reach your students. Olympians, Bible survey, you will have gone through the entire Bible within our Olympian clubs over a six-year period of time. But also small group times, that's where change happens. That's where change happens when I sit down with individuals one-on-one and I see things that they need to prove on. And I'm seeing progressive sanctification in their life. Gopher Buddies, repeated themes. Quiet time. Quiet time is a great tool. It's a great tool for evangelism. It's a great tool for spiritual growth within your lives. We have quiet times that range, and it's great for the whole family, from Gopher Buddies clear up to adults. It's a yearly quiet time, too. And the great thing about our quiet times is we are going over the same passage of Scripture that the Gopher Buddies are going over through our student ministries and adults. So you want to have a family devotion? Use your quiet time to do a family devotion. They have prayer journals in there. Pray for your pastor. For the younger ones, we can put pictures and we can slap them into our quiet times. Why? Because we want to teach our younger individuals that we need to be praying. We need to be memorizing Scripture. As a Scripture passage to be read, age-appropriate material, age-appropriate activities within our quiet times also. But they're all connecting. Couple of stories. We had an individual parent who was helping their child during a quiet time. The parent was not saved. The child came to the youth group. He went back to home. Parent was helping with her quiet time. And she found out that she was in trouble. So she came to the pastor and said, "You know, I think I'm in trouble. I've been doing my quiet time with my kid. And it talks about I need to have Jesus Christ as my Savior." And the pastor was able, through the quiet time, to lead another individual to Christ because of it. That's a great story about it. Scripture memory. We want to hide God's word in our heart. Why do we want to memorize Scripture? Because we don't have the right thinking all the time. And the Word of God does. That's why we memorize Scripture. So that God can change our thoughts. Can change our thoughts to conform to Jesus Christ thinking. And in Christian service, what we want to do within Christian service is we want individuals to serve others and serve Christ. And in Christian service, I have a church at that Shiloh up in North. What they do within their ministry is they do Christian service in their ministry. They have a whole classroom set aside. The kids go through it, and they're writing thank you letters to individuals. They're writing get well cards to individuals. They're writing encouragement letters to other individuals in their ministry. So it's a great way to get kids involved and to sharing Christ with other people. One of the events that we hold, and this is called Engage, and a couple of us were there. Well, we come in, and we want you to discover what God has for you. And with that, individuals within the church, you have God-given abilities, God-given gifts that God has given you. You could be able to teach. You can teach children. You can sing. You can play an instrument. All of these, what we do with Engage is we want you to discover what God has given to you. We want you to develop that. And when you develop it at Engage, we'll sit you in front of a couple of different judges, and they'll say, this is the way that you can improve it. It's an encouragement. Engage really is. And then we want you to deploy it. We want you to go to your youth ministries, and we want you to use what you've developed in Engage back in your home church. So Engage is an excellent opportunity to do it. It is an event that as local church missionaries run. A couple of evangelistic events that we run, and we ran one of these at, you can go ahead and go to the next slide. A couple is Storm. Now this one is sending teens out to reach the masses. We ran one at Hartford Christian Church almost about 10 years ago. We'd say, how would you like to eat 50 pounds of ice cream? So we grab teenagers and say, how would you like to eat 50 pounds of ice cream? Hey, do you know anybody else that would help us eat this 50 pounds of ice cream? Yeah, my friend down the street, he'd love to come. So we go and get that friend down the street, say, hey, do you know anybody else that would love to come and eat 50 pounds of ice cream? He says, yes, we do, this person. So we go get them. We gather them together into the church. They eat 50 pounds of ice cream. And then we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Why? Because it's an evangelistic event. We are reaching out into our community. We want to see individuals come to Jesus Christ as their Savior. You don't have to use ice cream. We have a church up north that used 1,500 wings. And they went through the 1,500 plus some. But that was an excellent event up there. Olympian Fast Car. We run an Olympian Fast Car here. It's an exciting time. We have a 35-foot track. It was bigger last service. It was 45 feet. But this service, it's 35 feet. And we raced Hot Wheel cars down those tracks. And we give out the gospel message during that event. And that's an exciting time of individuals getting saved. We ran a fast car at Bell Fountain this last month. 45 racers came out. 3 accepted Christ as their Savior. So this is a great evangelistic event that we run as local church missionaries. And then we have the huge event that we run. Go ahead, Reverb. It's an all-night event. You want to send your kids away for one night and see them sleep all day long? I know that's normal for them, but what we want to see happen here is we want to see them, we want to share the gospel message with them. We want them to invite their friends out. Some of the things that they do at Reverb, we come to a basketball game. We go to a semi-pro hockey game. They invite their friends out to this event. We share the gospel message with these individuals, and then they stay up all night going to different venues, bowling, inflatables. I've been to one where they did go-karting for that night. But it was awesome. A girl actually received Christ at a Reverb. She didn't come forward during the service. She came forward a couple weeks later. Told her leaders, and they started discipling her. She was very gifted in media. So she developed a media presentation for Engage. And the pastor took notice about how good her media presentation was. So the pastor has that individual come up with all of his PowerPoints now for the messages that he presents. So a leader brought 10 teenagers to a Reverb event. And during that time, he thought that all 10 of his teenagers were already saved. Well, he said he's going to close his eyes during the invitation. And he's not going to worry about it. He opened his eyes and all 10 of his teenagers were gone. They went back to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. So Reverb is another excellent event for evangelism that we provide to the local church to do. That is about the ministry of Word of Life. Do I have another slide? Yeah. That is about the ministry of Word of Life. But let me tell you why I love this ministry. It's because I have seen it work. And the biggest life that I've seen it change is my own. Because an area missionary with Word of Life discipled me. He encouraged me to get in my quiet time. He encouraged me to go to leadership conferences. He encouraged me to go to Engage and all these other events. And it's because of that area missionary's ministry to me that I want to use the same tools with Word of Life to reach other individuals. Now, Ken Dady was the area missionary that built into me. And a big thank you goes out to this church because you guys are supporters of Ken Dady. And his ministry to me is the reason why I'm standing in front of you today. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you to Lord Jesus Christ, because without him, I wouldn't be here at all. So let's pray. Father God, we love you. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ and his ministry to us, Lord, not only through Word of Life, but different missions organizations, Lord. Lord, just use us as the theme of this week is across the street and around the world. Each of us can be missionaries. Each of us can reach somebody for Jesus Christ and show them Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that that's what we'll do. Use my ministry to help them. Use their ministries that they have in different areas of the church. But Lord, use them personally, that they know somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ, that they would go out and share Jesus Christ with them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.